If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Double Cleanse podcast with me, Robert Welsk,
and me, James Welsk.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, fine. Do you know, I'm actually really happy this week because it's cold again.
Yeah.
We just had our heat wave, which was literally probably the worst thing to ever happen in my whole life.
You'll never forget.
I'll never forget it until next year when it happens again. But everything's just 10 times easier when the weather is cooler and manageable like easier. And, you know, you can film with the windows shut and without a fan on. You can film in general. And, you know, and I feel like my skin looks better when the weather's colder. Because being oily, my skin just, like, breaks out and looks incredibly shiny the whole time.
I went out and I wore a coat and I was like, this is how life is meant to be. Cold. I'm cold.
I have this thing where, like, when I walk my dog, I feel like I have to wear dog walking stuff. So I have a very specific fleece I like to wear.
It's a no one's looking at me, so I can dress like crap kind of aesthetic.
Joggers and a fleece. And it just felt comfortable. But this morning I did cut my fingernails too short, so that kind of ruined everything.
Oh, sore.
Yeah, they're really sore. But yeah, how about you? You're a bit sicky wick, aren't you?
I feel terrible this it all started yesterday. Like, I've been on and off sick. Like, we had a coronavirus test with I don't have it. Like, it's, I don't have it, but I definitely have like a flu or a fever or something, and it's just it's just that's me pretty much.
Well, that's the problem with, like, changes of temperature. You can get very, very sick.
I'm always warm anyway. Like, it can be the middle of winter. I could be sleeping outside and I'll be like, oh God, it's hot in here.
Someone put a fan on.
Yeah.
Why does it look like you're drinking out of a pot noodle?
This is a souvenir cup I got from when I was in New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans.
From a restaurant that I'm pretty sure they sell in every single restaurant there. I think it's like a generic cup. James, is there anything you've been loving?
Yes, you know what? There is. This is really boring. I'm going to really, really bore you now.
No, what is it? Paper.
Yeah, it's just this piece of white paper.
It's recyclable paper.
It's parchment. The CeraVe, or CeraVe, however you want to try and posh it up, healing ointment. This is so fucking boring, right? The ingredients, this might not mean anything to you, Robert, but if you're into skincare and you're listening, the ingredients are mineral oil, paraffin, dimethicone, ceramides, water, hyaluronic acid, xanthan gum, like really boring stuff. It's pretty much like Vaseline, but with ceramides in. Well, it's not, because it's not got petroleum in, but it's just like an ointment that you put over your skin. It's shiny, it's thick, but it heals your skin and just like makes this protective layer over your skin. And with everything going on in my face at the moment, with me fucking up my skin on purpose and the hot weather and my nose filler, I've had to have some stuff, you know, to kind of heal a few areas, and it's been amazing.
Why is it packaged like an anal cream?
No, well, this is right.
It looks
okay,
like it's
hang
for
on.
Piles. Oh, it looks right. like it's a pile cream.
So listen, CeraVe is like loved, but like amongst skincare people. I don't personally love it. The products are absolutely fine. They're pretty boring in the best way. Like they do what they need to do. They're very good and very, very effective. And I would recommend their products to everyone. But in one video, I said, I do not like CeraVe.
Yeah.
No, I like the products, but I don't like their packaging because it looks like prescription products. And it looks
does.
Like it has some kind of fungus, and that's what
like
I said
crap.
In a video.
I've got piles, and they hand you that.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Very
packaging.
Medical looking,
right? So, but that kind of is a good representation of what the products are. But it's fucking boring, and it's not over the counter. You know, it's like, you know, just on the shelves. And I said this once in a video, right? I said like CeraVe is like the vegetables of your meal. Like you don't really want to use it, but you kind of should because it's good for you. Do you know what I mean? Like if your skin goes to shit, you should be picking up a brand like CeraVe and using CeraVe. And people got so angry. They're like, you can't just judge products by their packaging, and like I can't trust you because you say CeraVe is bad because of its packaging. It's like, no, listen to what I fucking said. I said they're good products, the packaging's shit. Do I mean, and it is shit. Like
it's
terrible.
Shit. That looks terrible.
It looks like one of my like A-level GCSE projects. A-level graphic design projects.
You know
it's
what
terrible.
It looks like? It looks like you're staying at your grandparents' house and you walk into their bathroom and you open the cupboard and you're like, oh, I forgot my something. And then that's a name. It's like, I'm not sure what this is for, so I'm just not going to use it. But I'm sure it's for something more than what I need.
Yeah. They're honestly, it's such a good brand. I personally find their products a little bit too bland for me, and a few of their products do break me out. But their ingredients are different here in Europe than they are in America. So a lot of people that love it in America, it's maybe not, you know, it's different to what we have here in Europe. But yeah, that's what I've been loving. I feel like it's like the Vaseline. You know, you have Vaseline, you have Vicks, you have CeO Creme, like, in your cupboards.
Yes,
I feel like that's, like,
exactly,
a new thing I'm going to have in there just for whenever my skin is fucked, which is all the time because I experiment too much.
Very true.
Excuse me, I'm burping. I don't mean to put you on the spot. I know this is a very public platform.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to embarrass you in any way. Yeah. But is there anything you've been loving in makeup?
Oh, God, that's very invasive. actually, there's a few things this week, actually. But,
okay, well, we have time for one.
Yeah, but I'm sick. there's a product just launched recently from a brand called Dominique Cosmetics, who I absolutely love her as a YouTuber, and her eyeshadow palettes are really good, and her little highlighters, her cream highlighters are incredible.
Sure.
Sorry, everyone. I'm sick if I haven't said already.
What?
I'm just trying to find the name. Oh, yeah. It's called the Beautiful Mess Liquid Eyeshadows Bundle. So she released all these liquid eyeshadows, and I bought the bundle recently, and they are so incredible. They're like duotone. They look like liquid metal, and then they go on the eyes, and they set really nice. They don't set sticky. They don't crumble. They just feel like a really silky, smooth powder, and they're really nice and easy to blend when they're like haven't set yet. They're just incredible. They're just really, really nice, and it's, I believe she's an independent brand. So it's nice to support them. But yeah, Dominique Cosmetics in general are really, really great.
Beautiful.
And you know, can I just say something else, James, really quick?
Go on then.
This isn't anything to do with makeup, but I guess it's to do with life. you know, so you know, Soph Does Life used to be Soph Does Nails. She put something on her Instagram recently. Yeah, do you remember?
No.
She put something on her Instagram recently, and it was just about, like, these little water things that you put. I think they're called water drop. I can't remember. And, like, these little cubes of, like, flavour that you put in water, and it fizzes just so you drink more water. And I've bought things like this in the past, like powders that you put in, things like that. They always tasted like piss. But these ones taste so good. And literally, I'm drinking, like, 6 cups of water a day compared to my none.
Wait, isn't it just squash then? It's like a squash.
No, it's better, but there's like different choices. Like there's one called Revive and one called like Zen.
Oh.
And there's a youth one which instantly makes you younger. No, I don't know what that's for. Guaranteed to make you 10 days younger.
Guaranteed you.
But they're just so much nicer. I had this like powder that you put in this water and it was so fucking horrible. It tastes like when you walk down an alleyway on a Saturday night because you know someone's gone to the toilet down there and you're like, oh. Yeah, it was terrible. But these are so good. I just thought I'd drop that in there for everyone who... It's interesting.
Thank you.
Water. You're interested in water.
If you've heard of water before, get yourself some of these cubes. Well, thank you for sharing that. Oh, well, whilst we're talking about things that are unrelated to makeup and skincare, since you
started it.
This is important. I just finished the second season of Selling Sunset.
Oh my god, how incredible is Selling Sunset?
My god, I put it off for the longest time because I didn't get I don't know, because you know, I watched The Hills and I feel like people have tried to redo
the Hills
kind of concept. Like I can't watch the Kardashians, not because I hate them or anything, I just I'm not interested in what they're doing.
It's more family based, isn't it?
It's more family. It's I don't really care. But this is like The Hills. It's like, you know, I think this works because it's not just a group of people doing their own thing. They all work for the same thing. It's set around this like concept. Then they've all got their private lives. And I love all the characters. I don't like Davina, but I love all the other characters. Like even Christine, who's obviously meant to be like the villain of the show.
Right, exactly.
I love her. I think she's such a good character.
Amazing.
She always looks incredible. They always look amazing and they're so clever. Bus babe. It's just such a good program, and if you don't watch it, watch it. We're about to start season three.
You know what though, Davina does make it very, very interesting. Yeah, we won't keep talking about.
Oh, she has to. You have to have like different characters, otherwise it's a boring show. But I don't know. We haven't started season three yet, so
exactly. And also, something else that's great on Netflix, the Indian Matchmaker.
I can't watch that. Watched it yet.
You have to watch it. It is so good. It's about this traditional like Indian matchmaker who arranges marriages for families, if that makes sense.
Oh.
Like she gets their biographies and puts together a match. And it's more about, there are some traditional Indian families in it, but there's people in the States as well who are like, I've tried doing it this way. Now I want to try and do it the traditional way, you know.
It's so good.
There's some really interesting people in it. Some really good... I was about to say opportunities. I don't know what I'm saying.
I'm sick.
He's sick. Should we topic?
Yeah. Go on then.
Okay, we're going to topic ourselves. And the topic this week is all about filters and the use of filters on social media. And we don't just mean uploading a picture to Instagram and flicking through the preset filters.
Yeah,
we're talking filters you can buy, professional filters. You know, there's more to it than I think a lot of us realise.
Yeah.
Yes.
So can I just set the scene for a minute?
Set
the scene, but listen.
You're sitting in your house.
Right, here I am. My tripod is held together with blue tack. So me and Mr. Robert Welsh here are from a time that predates the internet. And I know that's going to be very hard for some of you to understand.
Wait, no, the internet was invented like in the 70s.
Oh, the internet was invented, right. But it wasn't popular to have it in your house.
Listen, to use the internet, you had to put a disc in your computer.
You had to install the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
And then plug in the internet, right?
And even before that. One time we didn't have the internet.
Yeah, so things like filters weren't public knowledge. They weren't. Right. They were obviously used in TV. You know, photo retouching has been around since the cameras have been invented. So, you know, you can do it in a dark room. We did a whole, what's it called?
Module,
yeah. I don't know, in like dark room stuff. Been around for ages. But so we've seen, like, the internet go from... like selfies not being a thing to like selfies being a thing, and then photo editing software coming out from it doing things like, you know, just changing the contrast of your picture all the way to
if you're under a certain age, you have no idea how difficult it was to get a picture online. Imagine taking a picture, having to have it printed out, then having to scan it into your computer.
Do you remember we used to go out with our friends?
Yeah.
We'd go out with our friends and then we'd be like, they take pictures on their disposable camera.
Yeah.
And then we'd be like constantly like, well, like, when are you going to upload? Have you got them developed yet? Like, when are you going to develop them? Have you scanned them in yet? And it would be real pressure, wouldn't it? Yeah, we've seen like how the internet has changed and how selfies have changed and how online profiles and personas and all that kind of stuff has changed. So it's very interesting. I also, by education and degree, have a degree in editorial and advertising photography, mm-hmm. With a particular interest in digital manipulation and retouching, which is right. Something we studied. So
one thing, let's just say that straight up, that this isn't your opinion when you see things, it's your trained
this is my degree. I guess you could mm-hmm. say professional opinion. Yeah, yes, so if yeah. I generally do have the right to talk about anything, it's photography, and that mm-hmm. that's everything from the studio setup, lighting, all the way up to the final product, as far as like the retouching and print goes. Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but this is the thing as well, is before we get into talking about filters and how they use nowadays, we're not here to say filters are wrong. I don't necessarily think
all.
They're
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about our opinions very, very soon. Mm-hmm. So, bit of history, if we may. Retouching, despite what people think, has been around for the longest time. Like I said, it was been around since the camera was invented. Not so much retouching, but digital manipulation has been around since the camera was invented. So you can Photoshop skin in the dark room. You can Photoshop skin on film. What they would do is they would cover like darker areas of the face with lighter bits of like film and papers, things like that, to stop that spot developing on the film. So you could Photoshop out spots, but then not even that. Back then, you know, the phrase Vaseline on the lens is kind of used to say they were basically using a more manual type of filter.
Yeah.
It's like a slightly blurred lens or a vignette around the lens. I can never say that word properly. You know, lighting's a huge deal as well. So it's been around for the longest time, I think, especially in from maybe the 90s. I think it was most prevalent with the rise of like the supermodel. Mm-hmm. Retouching would be massive when it came to like fashion campaigns. And then it wasn't really until, I think, I don't know, maybe like the early noughties that people started this whole campaigning against fake body image and unrealistic beauty standards. Mm-hmm. I think Dove were like a huge kind of part of that with their like Real Beauty campaigns. And they released an amazing advert where it showed you the process of the model getting hair and makeup done.
Yeah, I remember.
And then
very
quickly, like it was like a fake Photoshop retouching and then shown it on the billboard, which is kind of how it goes, you know? It's like, and nowadays, you know, so retouching has been around in advertising forever. Mm-hmm. And I think nowadays all we're seeing is that the new form of advertising is influencers. It's Instagram, it's MySpace, I was going to say. Oh my God, remember MySpace. Instagram, YouTube, TikTok now, you know, it's just a new form of advertising. And that retouching has moved onto these social platforms.
Yeah.
But then also, obviously, when Instagram started, people would use Instagram as, like, a filter app, wouldn't you? We didn't know it was, like, a profile thing. Yeah. We would use it, upload our pictures, and choose different filters. I remember, like, for the longest time, my Instagram was the same four pictures with different filters on, and then I'd save that picture and upload it onto, like, Facebook or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think from there, like, new filters have been made, and then, like, beauty filters and all that kind of stuff. And now it's so easy. As someone who knows Photoshop very, very well, when I look at apps like Facetune, I'm like, this is actually very, very good. You can tell the difference between a professional Photoshop mm-hmm. picture and something that's been done in Facetune or another, you know, mobile app. You can tell the difference, but it's very, very good and very easy to do. So, yeah, that's just how I think, you know, we've come to this area in time. And I think nowadays, the you know, influencers posing with products or posing with their makeup and posing with makeup on is obviously all inspired by how beauty has been advertised since the early 90s, you know, even longer than that. So mm-hmm. I think that's where this has all kind of come from. And it's just like the new norm for this to happen.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you have anything to say about that?
I have nothing to say, so I'm going to go ahead and leave. I think in terms of is there anything you particularly wanted to start talking about with filters? Or?
I think, let's just hear our opinions on it really
okay.
quick.
Okay. Go. So for me, filters. Filters and are we including like digital manipulation?
Let's, when we talk about filters, we're not talking about changing the contrast or using the Paris filter.
Filters meaning beauty filters. So something that will I keep knocking my microphone, sorry. So something that will smooth out your skin or something that will pinch your nose in and things like that.
Yeah.
I personally don't see the point in them. I feel like in the YouTube community, it's a bit of an ego thing. Mm. Why do you have to put a filter on your video to smooth out your skin when the whole point in your, especially in makeup, the whole point is to show what products can do to real skin, if that makes sense. So I don't see the point. Like, if you want to use it, go ahead and use it, but I feel I can spot them. So it doesn't bother me because I can be like, that person's using a filter. But then I won't trust their foundation review. I won't trust their highlighter review. I won't, you know, whatever. On Instagram, everything like that, as soon as I see, I never believe an image ever. Never believe one. If something looks perfect, I zoom in and I look for repeating pattern where it's been edited. I look for everything. But I don't mind that because I think it, to me, makeup artistry, especially as well in like editorial, like in magazines and things like that, is a whole image that includes digital manipulation. Mm-hmm. It's a whole concept, if that makes sense.
Mm.
And I don't mean by making someone slimmer or making something like, I mean like making the eye shape bigger or, you know, doing something to make a whole story behind an image. But in sales, I think that's where filters come in a little bit wrong, or when you're reviewing things, I think that's kind of where it comes in. I don't like it.
So I agree. I think as someone who has retouched before for people's, it's not. I think people think it's all about slimming, and you know, you have these new apps. There's one called Perfect Me, which I'll be talking about in tonight's video on my YouTube channel.
James's YouTube channel is shut down. Don't bother looking for it.
No, go look. It's not about that. Like, one thing we would do is reshape the clothing more than the person, if that makes sense. So, like, make the clothing look better. We'd get rid of, like, creases, stuff like that. But then also, like, changing the lighting, like you said, adding, like, stronger shadows somewhere. Or, you know, like, accentuating the makeup by changing the contrast or saturation. All the very basic kind of stuff. Mm. But there, of course, would be skin retouching as well.
Yeah.
I do think when you look at adverts, you know they're retouched. I think a lot of people are perfectly aware. Your skin's going red, whatever you're doing right now.
Oh, I have a spot there. That's just the light.
You're picking your spot with the tweezers?
No, I'm getting a brow, a unibrow hair.
Okay. Robert's plucking his eyebrows whilst I'm talking. like you say, I think we know. I think my go to as well as not trust anything I see online. Mm-hmm. What I do appreciate is when people say their pictures are filtered, if that makes sense. So one thing I'll do, like, naturally, because it's my education as a photographer, I know how to take a good selfie in lighting. Like, I know how lighting is going to change the way I look. I know how lighting is going to affect my skin. I know how angle is going to affect, like, the way my chin looks, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I'll just say that in the comments. I'll be like, for example, like, I use the blue, the bluish filter that you get on Instagram.
Yeah.
I use this, turned it down a bit because it knocks redness out of my skin.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, and I've used, like, a brightness contrast, which doesn't necessarily change my skin, but it does look more flattering. You know, little things like that. Mm-hmm. One thing I really, really, really hate and hate is filters in advertising, like you do. So, but when it comes to influencers, I think it should be the standard across everyone, not just influencers. I think when you see something in a magazine, there should be filter disclaimers. Like when false lashes are used in mascara adverts.
You know? Yeah, I don't think they do that anymore.
Do they not?
No, I haven't seen one for a long time.
Yeah, because back in the day as well, they would just use eyelash stamps in Photoshop. So it wasn't even there in the first place. Yeah, but they'd look pretty real. So I think there has to be a disclaimer, but I do not think you should be allowed to use filters depending on what you're selling. Skincare, for example. Mm-hmm, I don't think if you're talking about the benefits of a skincare product, you shouldn't be allowed to use any kind of filters, trickery, anything like that to show the results because it's not real. It's false advertising. Little things as well, like if you've been paid to talk about a product and you're showing a before and after, same lighting, same place, no makeup, don't get your hair fucking done. Do you know what I mean? Like, it should be very, very particular.
Right.
We have to be careful because it's false advertising. And as influencers, not everyone is aware of, like, trading standards and the law behind that kind of thing. So we could think we're doing something perfectly harmless when really it's trickery and it's lying and it's manipulation, you know? So maybe that's going a bit too far with the lighting and being, you know, make sure you're doing it at 12 o'clock the same day.
Well, why not? But lighting's the same at that time, so why not? If you're going to review a product to specifically, you know, a before and after, it's really difficult to get a before and after that look exactly the same. So why not doing it at exactly the same time of day, out the same window, exactly the same position, you know? As difficult as it might be, you want to give a true representation. If I was to take a before in front of all, like, professional lighting, and then take an after by daylight window, it's going to be completely different. And it might just look the same.
A lot of brands I've worked with that I really like working with, like Zit Sticker, for example, obviously can't talk too much about the contract, but they require you to take a picture and film in natural lighting, which I think is incredible because it's the truest representation of what your skin looks like. And it's also to show off how, like, invisible their patches are, you know, so it works for them as well, but it's also a good kind of, like, what's the word, like, just good basics, you know, good
practice,
etiquette, good practice that's the word. So I do this series called Instagram versus Reality on my YouTube channels, where the aim is to, you know, look at before and afters of influencers, music videos, all this kind of stuff. I just kind of, like, work out what's going on and looking at videos of people and looking at the filters, you know, like spotting filters that have been used. How many apps are you aware of that can change your face, your body? Like, how far do you think you can go?
There's Facetune, which I don't use. I think it's crap. I use Photoshop for my pictures on a computer. And there's Snow.
On a desktop?
Yeah.
On an HP?
No. Snow. That's all I know because I don't edit pictures on my phone. I use, like I said, just Photoshop on my computer.
Yeah. So, yeah, I prefer Photoshop too, just because, again, that's my practice.
Yeah.
But there are so many apps. So, going from my research, we have Facetune, right? We have Facetune 2, which does video as well. Oh. So it's like Snow, but it's a little bit more realistic than Snow. Mm-hmm. You have an app called Perfect Me, which can slim your body down on video, so it can do it in real time. Not only that, and there's a million more like that. Not many do the video, but it's so easy to do it on video. There's something called Beauty Box, which you can do on, anyone can download and use in Final Cut Pro or Premiere Pro, and it completely makes your skin look flawless. To me, it's obvious, but you can tell a lot of the big YouTubers use it. It could do anything with this, from removing spots to just making your skin look more even, accentuating certain body features like your lips and eyes. It's not quite as simple as, like, Snow and Facetune, but once you've got your presets and your plugins, you can then just drop that onto every video that you make, and it automatically makes you look better. This is where it's a bit like, so if, for example, let's say I was filming a video that had nothing to do with skincare and I had a filter on, what do you think is acceptable when it comes to that? Do you know what I mean? Like, what do you think of that?
Let me say something quickly. I was watching a certain makeup YouTuber the other week, and I saw this filter and I was like, I swear they are using a filter because the skin was so smooth. Even the eyeball was smooth. But then there was, like, a sharpness added to the video. And I was like, okay, I'm not sure. Maybe it's a camera quality, maybe it's a lighting, whatever. And then this person put on a highlighter and suddenly all these pores appeared.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that can happen with highlighter. But when they moved their face, the pores didn't move with it. I was like, okay, this is really, that is not real skin texture. This has to be a filter. So I thought, but I've never seen this been mentioned ever. Never, like, this person uses a filter. No. And I've seen other people mention that about other YouTubers before. So I purchased the cheapest filter I could find for Final Cut Pro. It was like $12 or something like that.
What was it called?
I can't even remember. Skin Fix or something stupid like that. And I was like, okay, let me, and this is just a video where I was just talking. I wasn't applying makeup, I was just talking. I was like, okay, let me add this on. and see how obvious it is. And then I was going to, on the Wednesday after that, I was going to do a video about lighting and all that kind of stuff. But what happened? I think I just got lazy.
Didn't it just get really hot?
It got really hot and I couldn't film. Oh no, there was work people outside my house. But I just could not film because it's picking up the sound. So I was going to do one of my natural lighting videos, but I wanted to include a filter in it. I was like, this to me is obvious. My skin looked completely blurred. There was no definition.
I watched it,
and I was really nervous, and I uploaded a video and no one said anything. Mm-hmm. But people were saying, your skin looks great today, all this. And I was like, oh my God, it looks like I've edited it in the 80s. Like, it was so smooth. And then I had to put a comment. I was like, does anyone notice? Like, does anyone notice something? And people were like, yeah, your skin looks really smooth today. Some people were like, oh, have you added a filter and all this kind of stuff? Because I felt really, I didn't want people to think I was that kind of person.
Yeah.
But I thought it was blatantly obvious, but it wasn't.
Well, this is things I thought it was obvious, but that's because I look at this kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, for example, there was absolutely no texture in your face when
none
there was in
all.
Your facial hair and hair.
Yeah.
Your shadows were blurring into your highlights, like naturally, like whatever falls in your face.
Yeah.
I thought it was really obvious, but this is the thing, is like, unless you know about this stuff, it's not going to be obvious to you. Like, why should it be obvious? And
so
this is why I think
thing.
It's a bit, go.
If it's, what was your question? What I find acceptable?
What would you find acceptable if I was just to sit there and talk about, I'm not demonstrating a product, I'm not saying the great results of a product, I'm maybe just showing my favorite, listing some of my favorite things,
right?
But I've got a heavy filter on.
I personally wouldn't care if it was really obvious, because here's the thing, it's not like you're, I don't know, because if you're talking about products, then I would, if you're not known for wearing makeup, for example, and you're talking about a product that you thought was really great for your skin, and then I'm looking at your skin and it's blurred and filtered, then I could be like, well, that must be what happens to his skin, so I'm going to get that. Do you know what I mean? So in a way, to me, it might be kind of false advertising.
Yeah.
But then I post makeup pictures and they are photoshopped on Instagram, but eye makeup isn't photoshopped, the skin is, and then I'll deepen like the side of my face or a shadow or something to make it more of an interesting image than just a flat image.
Yeah.
But then is that not also being like, but although I won't mention the foundation, if that makes sense, but if somebody asks me in the comments, what foundation are you wearing, or your skin looks great, I'll be like, thank you, it's Photoshop. So it depends. I think it depends how you deal with it. I think you need to be really careful. In reality, filters in videos, I think, should not exist. For YouTube, for skincare and makeup people, I think shouldn't exist.
I just don't think there's no need for it, because I think if you're like doing tutorials again and talking about makeup, you want to see the actual effects of the makeup. And I know the video you're talking about, the YouTuber you're talking about, because I watched a particular video as well, and I noticed that again, like all the highlights and where the light fell on the face was blurring into like hairlines and all this kind of stuff, and it just wasn't natural, and I had never noticed it up until that point on this particular channel. And it's the one thing now is there are apps, Facetune does it, but there's also programs that does it where you can blur your skin, but you can add texture back onto the skin, so it's like fake pores. So it does make your skin look flawless but still natural. The pores are just noise. It's called noise. So it's like speckles, right? So it's a little bit more obvious to me, but it's not to everyone. It does look really, really kind of realistic.
And here's the thing, though. Like, if, again, talking about like Instagram versus YouTube, you can go on someone's Instagram and see all these edited pictures and how, you know, great they look, whatever. I like to have my hand in the picture so I can pull my chin back.
Yeah, I did that. I put my thumb under my chin.
And I can pull my double chin up around the other side and you can't see it. But then you can also go to my channel and see a moving picture. You can see a video. You can see a video of me sitting there with no makeup on as a video opens, how I really look. So it's not like I'm putting out there, this is how I look every day, I'm always holding my chin back. You know, it's, but then if you're going to this person, let's say this person whose filter we notice, if we're going to their Instagram and their skin is flawless, and then we go to their YouTube and even without makeup on, their skin is flawless, it's like you're selling a false reality, you know?
Yeah. I think like that's one thing as well, is During like my researching of Instagram versus reality and before and afters, a lot of these are posing. Mm. Like a lot of it, because they're like my Instagram, I'm sitting there, I'm posing. The camera's, you know, looking down on me to make my double chin look less. Like you said, yeah. I've got my thumb tucked under my chin so that right. like, it's taking up my double chin. And you're moving your head at a particular angle to get a good shot.
Right, exactly.
Which is very different to you on camera with your mouth moving and your muscles moving, your chin right. going up and down.
We're like, hey, so, everybody. Yeah.
So it's not really like fake versus real. It's just one is more a concept and one is a true. Reality. Yeah. And I think that's like, where do you draw the line between having like a fashionable... with makeup, I think in particular as well, it's an art form. So when I do look at like edited makeup and stuff, it doesn't piss me off because I'm like, you got the colors there, you got the shape, unless you know they've gone really heavy like James Charles right. does and can completely do his whole makeup on face
tune,
which is a talent within itself,
absolutely.
But he is very, very open about using filters. 100% One thing I must say,
he's done it in videos where he'll sit there and he face tunes. I swear I've seen a video of him face tuning his subscribers videos who send him to him, but he is very open about it, which I think is really great, to be open and honest. If someone's using a filter in a video, I think they should sit there and be like, I'm using a filter right now.
Yeah, like, you know? My skin looks shit at the moment. I feel more comfortable using a filter.
Right.
I mean, like,
right.
I think if they're not a skincare channel, then fine, but say it. Yeah. I think as a skincare channel, I think we have a responsibility to be like, look, my skin looks shit. Look here, look here, look here, look there. And that's one of the reasons I switched from natural lighting, which I said is one of the truest representations of what your skin does look like in real life, to studio lighting, because like the orangeness of some lights will pick out the redness of your skin. The blue light of like a ring light is also going to do that as well, and it shows you all the tiny details that you're probably not going to see in real life. And as a skincare YouTuber, I'm more comfortable with people seeing in video texture on my skin, the redness that may not look that obvious in real life, but you know, showing what products are actually doing. So that makes me better than everyone because I don't use their filter.
So because I'm better than everyone.
But when it comes to my Instagram as a photographer, I like a picture to have a concept. I like there to be light, different lighting used. I like to use filters, not necessarily reshaping my face. Because I feel like I would go too far. As someone that did used to retouch for like brands and other people, I feel like I would go too far.
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean? Like, instead of like keeping myself looking like myself, I'd change my nose. Because that's another thing, as someone who is a person, we know what we want to change in our face. And I think when face tuning goes too far is that you forget what you actually look like and you create this whole other persona. Yeah. And then when people do see these before and afters, it's like, oh wow, like you look completely different. And that's because you've just gone out, you know, out of your way to completely change the way you look by accident sometimes, you know, you just keep going. And
like, oh, I just add this little bit. And now I look like someone else.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
But I think, because I know YouTubers that will just sit there and talk and use a filter, which doesn't bother me, but I wish they would make it very clear. I think it's easier saying, this video is filtered. I've got a
but why
filter.
Do you want to be why I why would you want to do I don't get I don't I don't get it. I don't get why it's so, and I do get it because, again, YouTubers, you can get some comments like, oh, your skin, oh, whatever. But I just don't get why you would think it's necessary to sit there and just talk and have a filter over you.
Well, that's a good point, actually. Let's talk about where this came from. Like, why do we even have these apps? Why do people feel it's necessary to change the way they look, especially women? Feel the need to change the way they look. And as we mentioned, this really, the whole insane retouching comes from the 90s, like the beauty, as you said, when supermodels were a thing, and when really the beauty standards were at their peak craziness. Like, it was prevalent way before, but, you know, we the real beauty standard that has stuck around is skinny, perfect skin, perfect hair of, like, the 90s supermodels. And I feel like that's the one thing that's stuck around for years and years. And, you know, things are changing now, but there's still that standard of having a perfect figure, whatever that may be, whether that's slim or whether that's curvy, but perfectly curved. Do you know what I mean? Like, no bumps, no hip dips here and there. And that's one thing I think, especially, like, female influencers online, you do see some of the comments that they get. And they're insane. They're picking them apart. Like, on the basic thing, obviously, men, we have our kind of, like, unrealistic beauty standards too. But I don't think it's something online trolls or people online or for celebrities, like, gossip magazines. Mm-hmm. Are there magazines anymore? Gossip columns, you know, like, before and after dedicated Instagram pages. I don't think it's something that they attack men so much for.
Yeah.
Whereas with women, it's all things like, this picture's overly face-tuned. They've had too much surgery, but this all stems from probably comments like,
this is a thing apart, you can't win, I think, as a woman online, because somebody could say, where did I see this the other day? And I was thinking about it. Someone could say, oh my God, why is she doing makeup? Her lips are too thin. And then they'll get some lip filler. Why has she got lip filler?
Like, she's fake.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so where's your in between? Where do you want me to be? And I think to see comments like that all the time, and you were saying about beauty standards, and I think beauty standards have been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, but it's to a point where it did get like 80s 90s where celebrity became more idolized,
culture, that makes sense. Culture,
and more culture, exactly, and it became started to become a lot more prevalent, and especially now where we can see everything. Like, it wasn't as easy to see things from different countries, let's say in the 80s or 90s online. We have access to everything and to different beauty standards now as well.
So, and everyone at every time.
And everyone at every time. So it's not so much that the standards have changed, it's just that we can see more standards now. People in other cultures can see our standards of wanting to be more tanned. We can see their standards of wanting to have lighter skin. You know, it's there's all these different standards. It's like, okay, so what are we meant to do? What are we meant to be? How would people, and I think it comes again when on like an influencer level, how do people want me to look? How do other people want me to look? Not how do I want myself to look? What are other people saying about me? What do I have to change about myself, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
And I think that's like, you get that in comments, like, and I think that's where it can lead to people using filters. More of like a self-conscious thing.
Yeah, you know? And that's the thing, though. I think everything nowadays is about how do I become more successful online, whether you want it to be your career or not, and whether you like it or not, people are judged on a following. And I think nowadays people think to be successful online, there's certain things you have to do and like presets that you have to have. So, and that's Facetune, that's having perfect makeup. But, you know, and the thing is, I feel like within the last maybe, I don't know, like 10, not even 10 years, like 5 years, beauty standards are trends at the moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a new thing you have to be, like what feels like every other month. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Not so much for men, again, for women. Do you know what I mean? And these are, you know, you see, like, there's a website I follow called Celeb Face, and it's like heavily Photoshopped, like before and afters and all this kind of stuff. And just scrolling through it and looking at the dates of the pictures, you can see the type of face tuning changed. I mean, the trends within Facetune, the trends within Photoshop, the trends with like online campaigns, and it's just like forever changing, and it's so difficult to keep up. But then I guess Facetune makes it super easy for you to make yourself into whatever you want to be.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest issues is, again, going right back to what we're talking about, is females in particular are told throughout all the time, like you said, but especially nowadays, with females with an online presence are constantly being told by everyone what they should look like, and everyone has a different opinion,
right?
You know, and it must be so infuriating, and Facetune or these apps probably just make their life so much easier.
Yeah, you know? Well, like, I was thinking, even things like fillers and things like that, like, oh, it would be so much easier to do your lips if you had lip filler. It'll be so much easier to conceal under your eyes if your under eyes were smoother, you know? Your brows laminated, it'll be so much easier to do your brows. Like, there's so many different things. And again, it'll be so much easier to have your makeup look perfect if you had a filter. You wouldn't have to worry about lighting, you wouldn't have to worry about natural lighting, you wouldn't have to worry about your camera angle, how close or far away you're sitting from the camera, what foundation you're using on camera. There's so many different things you can change.
It's funny though, because like, it doesn't just affect the biggest influencers, it doesn't affect the micro influencers, it affects Sharon from down the road with like 20 followers on Instagram. It really does like stem, like leak right down, trickle down to everyone, which I find super, super interesting.
And I think as well, we, like you said earlier, like now, especially with careers and things like that, I said that like it was two separate words.
Yeah, was it with careers?
It's because I'm getting like, I can't breathe.
Sick, you're sick.
I'm sick. I get it. I'm sick. I'm running out of breath when I talk. It is based on how many followers you have with everything. I was talking to a guy on Twitter who's a professionally trained makeup artist who's amazing, who maybe doesn't have as many, who doesn't have as many followers as I do. And I think he posted something and someone was like, Robert, what do you think of this? And I was like, the same.
Yeah, you're a makeup artist too.
Yeah, I have the same opinions from when I had 10 followers to when I have 500,000. You know, it's still, I'm still me. But
he's changed.
I'm a completely different person. I think your worth is based on, like you said, followers as well.
Yeah.
But people are basing their worth and their knowledge on image as well.
Yeah.
Like, people would judge, for example, you can't do good makeup on yourself, therefore you're not a good makeup artist, for example, which isn't true, because I've known some people who look terrible in makeup when they do their own makeup, but they're incredible makeup artists. But it is all about image, and your worth, and I'm not saying this is right, is based on the way you look. And we know that as well from two people who had careers in the fashion industry. It's all image. And unfortunately, as much as we don't like to think it does, and we're hoping to move away from this, image can lead to success and
pretty privilege.
Yeah, to how
successful you
are. I watched
a video about this
the
other day. Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but it's really interesting. They talked about like pretty privilege and where it's got them, how pretty privilege works in other countries. I'm gonna have to find it. We'll try and link it because it's super, super interesting.
And that's the thing as well. If we were both doing a video, right? Say we were both skincare. I got something in my hand. Get it out your hand. Like a splinter. We were both like skincare influencers, say, for example. And we had exactly the same blemishes, you know, like exactly the same. But I was sitting there with a filter covering them all up. And I was like, this is my skincare routine. And look at my skin. And you had exactly the same skincare routine. Oh, sorry, a slightly different skincare routine, but your skin, same blemishes. And with no filter, people are going to trust me more, right?
Yeah,
because I have no blemishes and because I'm using a filter. But how obvious is that filter? And what if we're following people with this who are, you know, more beautiful, have clearer skin?
Yeah.
Do they actually vote? There was a really something I didn't even know existed in one of your videos where you were sitting there, you literally put a red dot on your face.
A red sticker on my face.
Yeah. And you were speaking and you had edited that out of a video. And then you played the same clip side by side of you talking, one with a red dot and one where you edited it. No, I had no idea it was edited out. I had no idea you could do that to that extent either.
Yeah.
So if you were to have that blemish and be like, this cleared up my blemishes. How, like, what? I didn't even know you could do it to that extent.
Yeah, before and after photography and even video is so easy to fake, you know? It's so easy to... Yeah. So I put this big red sticker on my cheek, and throughout the whole, like, first half of my video, I used a filter to edit it out.
Yeah.
And it took me... Bearing in mind, it was probably like 10 minutes into the video. Or I don't know, maybe five, actually. It took me probably 2 minutes to do. Yeah. Super easy. Like, even, like, untrained someone could do it. Like, it's so easy nowadays to do that kind of stuff. So, there has been a rise, I guess, in... unedited skincare campaigns, I've noticed, Percy, and a lot of people are going for the more the unretouched kind of side of things. You know, they're still wearing makeup, but you get to see blemishes and all that kind of stuff, which I think is really, really good. And I think it's, I feel like the world is at a stage now where we're fully aware. I think that's one thing good about Facetune and like Photoshop on your phone is that so many people are more aware of what is possible, and you know how big companies do change the way people look, how big companies do change their skin, how influencers do it.
I think that's one thing that people think it's more big companies that do it, where actually it's potentially everyone.
It's everyone, you know? That's it, yeah. So I think people are aware nowadays of it, so I think we appreciate, I guess it's just the truthfulness of a brand who use models with normal skin, or you know, unretouched pictures, whoever that skin, weight, skin tone, texture, you know. I think it's like I think we're just more appreciative of, and we trust brands more that don't do this kind of like overly edited, that's true. Like, do you think there should be new rules and laws put into place for modern day advertising that state that a filter is being used in that advert, whether it be a video advert? Because beauty work in movies has been around forever. Oh, let's talk about that. We'll come back to this question. Beauty work, do you know what beauty work in movies is?
Yes, so, well, now I do, only because I watched your video about it.
Right.
But I didn't know that existed either.
No, so there's two ways they can do this. What they do is they map out the actor's face, and then they just do all the beauty work on top of that. That includes taking a couple of years of age off the skin, get rid of fine lines, wrinkles, all that kind of stuff. What they may also do is get a younger lookalike stand-in model to react the scenes, do exactly the same expressions, and kind of merge that skin onto theirs. So there's huge, huge budgets put in this. And some actors and actresses, and some actors will have that as part of their deal. Like, this is the amount you have to spend on my beauty work. This is what, you know, you have to do. And that's why I think when we see these paparazzi pictures, we think, oh my God, look how shit they look, because we only see them with this beauty work on.
Right.
You'll notice it on things like Selling Sunset.
Cats. Cats.
What about cats? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that was just Microsoft Paint used for that. You'll see it in the Kardashians, do you know what I mean? Like, you'll see these slight blurs to the skin. You know, so it really, really is more prevalent. Do you think there should be a disclaimer? So, you know, like when product placement is in a video, we get that little P in the corner of the screen that says this is product placement that has been advertised. Do you think there should be disclaimers?
Yeah, so, for films and things like that, yes.
If you do?
Yeah, if it's just like Anne Hathaway writing letters throughout the whole film, whatever it is that film was about. But if it's something, I can't remember what the film was. you know, for example, if she was just doing normal things.
You mean
things.
Sandra, what's her name? Sandra Bullock.
Bullock.
And she was writing letters in that house and posting them or something.
Yeah, that's the one
I
mean.
Yeah,
I love Sandra Bullock.
Me too.
and Anne Hathaway, actually. But if it's, I don't know, because it kind of like, if it's meant to be some kind of like fantasy thing, then no, obviously, because, I mean, use of common sense, you know, that person isn't actually 20 and now they're 80, you know? But like,
oh, Benjamin Button,
I do think
real.
So. Yeah, that was all backwards and it was real. reality TV, yes, I think so.
Yeah,
YouTubers, yes, also I think so.
Well, that's
advertisements, yes, also I think so.
It's reality TV. I think if you're advertising the effects of something, you should say if it's not real. I think it's that simple. Like, it's false advertising. It's completely fake. For example, one thing I talk about in my video today, on my YouTube channel, James
which
Welsh,
which no longer exists,
is up and it's fine. is Kylie Jenner. It was one of her, it was probably her Instagram stories or TikTok, whatever she's on now. She's using her lip kit. And she is lining her lips, and you can see the lip pencil wiggling. And then she applies a gloss, and you can see the gloss literally glitch, like there's a gap in the thingy. It wouldn't, to me, it wouldn't usually be a big deal if this was just someone on their Instagram applying
doing makeup,
doing whatever, like just a little story, whatever. But the good thing about Instagram stories is it says if you're using a filter.
Yeah.
It says at the top, right?
Yeah.
You can download those and then re-upload them and it wouldn't say, but, you know, right. At least it is kind of making an effort to show it. What troubles me here as a Karen is is the fact that this is her brand. She gains monetary money-wise from it.
Yeah.
So this is advertising, and the whole spill of her lip kit is that lining the lips and adding this gloss, right, is meant to make them look bigger, and that's the whole thing where her lip plumper kits came from, all this kind of stuff. So to me, it's her brand. She is mis-selling the lip kit because she has clearly used a filter of sorts in this video that makes her lips look bigger, and you know that shit that she has because that is where the glitch is on her lips. So there's been a filter applied there. So obviously these filters map out your face the moment you put your hand in front of your face, or anywhere in your face
you disturb it.
So for me, that is false advertising. However, I was also sent a video of her face glitching in Cardi B's new music video where she makes a cameo appearance, right? Which it wasn't. It was just her blinking weird, and that footage wasn't used. It must have been from like a behind the scenes kind of video or something, because it's not in the final music video. But say they had used something on her face, this doesn't bother me because it's a music video. It's an artistic representation of something. And this might be me being a bit naive, but I would presume everybody knows in music videos
certain things
don't exist.
That's like editorial or magazine imagery, certain things are edited, and I think that is common knowledge.
I think so. And obviously, like, green screen was used and all that kind of stuff. But that's the difference, is I don't personally care about it in music videos. I think they are obviously, of course, one of the main things people watch and see people's bodies. But I do think Instagram, TikTok, you know, all that kind of stuff is where people see, like, the main kind of, like, more real,
right,
in quotes, representations of what body standards are. So that's what music videos and films, I think we know it's all make-believe. We know it's not real. But I did study that music video very, very carefully, and they all just do look amazing. And I think that's one thing I think that... Can we just talk about that music video really quick and the response to it?
Yeah.
I think that music video is, first of all, artistically incredible. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that their outfits are incredible, the way they talk about their bodies and show their bodies in the music video is amazing as well. Like, the fashion, the styling is just incredible. If that was... Put Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy up, and, you know, no one's kicking off about it. I get the lyrics are a bit more explicit here.
Yeah, but I think the song and the video are completely outraged. No,
no,
I was watching it when in that purple and green scene. I love the use of color theory.
Yeah,
and I think it's really, really incredible. And there are more things to be disgusted than women talking about sexuality. And anyone who's complaining about it, like you've never had a sexual thought in your life. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, I can't believe she has her boob out. Like, come on.
Did you see that tweet from that man? He was some kind of like American. I don't know if it was like a vicar or something, but it was like, I accidentally watched the music video.
Yeah.
You do not accidentally. On. The first scene is fountains of like Cardi B's body, like naked body.
Right.
That is where you would stop if you really had an issue.
Can you imagine?
It.
Like, but oh my God, what a sin. And I just carry on watching it.
Then Russell Brand posted this video about, you know, are they really being that free by talking about their bodies and sexualizing it when this is what men have been doing for years to female bodies, you know, they're perpetuating something that men had come up with. No, this is my opinion, is that women, I think, when you see women celebrating their bodies, it's way more of an important thing to do than men celebrating their bodies. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's good, like, men of all sizes feel comfortable, and we see plus size male models as well. But women have been told how to feel and what to do with their bodies
all
for so long by men. Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, they videos like this one and lyrics, and even Lil' Kim back in the day, I remember she was probably one of the first females that we were aware of who spoke what is considered explicitly about her body.
Yeah, and she was the first female rapper to not stick with a typical, in quotes, rap talk, you know? Yeah. She sexualized it a little bit
more. Yeah, and I think, like, it's, you know, it's not something that should be shunned, because women talking about their bodies freely has been shunned for the longest time. And I think that's mm-hmm. why when we see music videos like this and people and females talking about their bodies in this explicit way, it's not just they're being dirty and explicit. And, you know, they are, but yeah. also, like, they...
Here's the thing. Sorry, just interrupting
you go.
There. Yeah. If men are complaining about this, it's because they're seeing something that is a woman that is sexually explicit, and for once they haven't initiated it. They haven't yeah. thought, okay, now I'm choosing to watch this, or I'm putting this on someone else. When a woman takes control of her body and the whole sexual experience, these men are intimidated by it, or they feel threatened by it for some reason because their masculinity can't handle it. That a woman might be slightly more powerful and might actually enjoy being being sexual in herself, whereas men usually choose to do it. They choose to watch pornography at this point, or they choose to hit on a woman when it suits them. Whereas this, and this is my point of view, sorry, whereas when Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion are doing it, they're like, this is, I can't believe they're doing
outrageous.
This.
What a bad example.
Exactly. Whereas you think that they're not going to have the same feelings as you sometimes, you know, or want to put it out there that they're in charge of themselves and in charge of the sexual experience they're having. Like, it's like, stop feeling intimidated by it. If you're a woman who's intimidated, who's offended by it.
Offended by it.
For why?
Yeah, do what you need to do.
Do what
Let
you
other
do.
People celebrate who they are.
Exactly.
Yeah, but looking at that as well, going back to talking about that, I was studying that video. I was, like, studying it, and it doesn't look like any body reshaping has taken place. You know, it is a complete celebration of what their bodies are and the shapes of their bodies and who they are, which I think is incredible. You know, I hope to see more. Obviously, they have amazing bodies, which, you know, a lot of people look at and think this is an ideal body type.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like they're on the plus size or...
Right.
But still, you know, music videos like that, I think, are important. And it's not just, it's very different because they're not just saying, you know, this is our body shapes and we're perfect. And this is you know, they're talking about their bodies in general. And that could be any person of any size, any stature, any color, any whatever, singing those lyrics and feeling that empowerment. I think that's what's really, what I love about that.
Mm-hmm.
But when females, rappers, singers, whatever, do talk about their bodies in that kind of way.
Mm-hmm. It's because they're taking, they're taking charge of themselves as a sex symbol rather than having other people put on them what they should be as a sex symbol.
Men tell them how to be sexy and when.
Exactly.
What were we talking about? Oh, Kylie Jenner. but yeah, you know, that's what, like, but you do have to presume that in music videos, in cinema, a bit of trickery has gone on.
Yeah,
again,
absolutely.
It's a concept. It's not something real.
Right. We've all seen Casper. We know that's not real.
We've all seen Casper.
We know that a ghost isn't that skinny.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little mix, a music video that I've talked about in one of my videos before, where they've got lines in the background and they have used reshaping on Jessie.
Yeah.
Is it Jessie?
Yeah.
Yeah. But she does. She's got an incredible figure. Like, we've all seen her live. Like, she doesn't need, you know, on TV. You know, and you can see the bending and the wobbling and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think that's, you know, as much as we say, you know, like, filters are wrong, you shouldn't be doing it, I think influencers and advertisers do have a responsibility to be open about when they're using it. I don't think it should be banned. I don't think you should be, like, chastised. Is that the word? Because, does that mean when you can't have children? No, chastise is told off.
Oh, yeah.
I think, yeah. You know, because they're using filters, I just think you should be very, very blatant about it. And I think when you're being paid to talk about, or when you are talking about the effects of something on your skin, or the texture of makeup, or the pigment of makeup, I think it's misleading to
absolutely.
Use a filter.
Exactly.
And I personally don't think it should be used.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, but then everyday people, everyday life, filters are fun. You get some really cool ones, you know, like you know, fun filters.
Yeah, how does you look like an ant?
Yeah, which ant are you? two options. you know, I don't think they should be banned or anything. I just think people who are in the public eye and people who do have an influence should make it very clear that they are using filters.
Yeah. We actually asked you guys if on Instagram if you can tell when influencers use filters.
Oh, we did.
James, I was very surprised by the results.
Oh, tell me.
So, sometimes, but not always, I often fall victim and then criticize myself for not looking so good. That's exactly why.
That's exactly what the issue is.
Because you know what? That's literally it, like falling victim to these filters. You know that person, well, you don't know, but some people don't realize that. Some people don't realize that that actually isn't how that person looks.
Mm.
In general, you know?
Yeah.
Someone says, yes, unless they have used Facetune, then I can't tell. You can make some very subtle tweaks on Facetune. Mm-hmm. You can slim your nose down, so absolutely. Sometimes, but not always, some are obvious, some are subtle and realistic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So someone says, no, I take everything at face value and just assume that's what people slash things look like.
Mm.
Yeah, even food has filters on. Like, they do things to food.
Oh my god, food photography is absolutely insane. Yeah. Sometimes it's not even like what you're looking at.
Yeah,
doing, like, exactly. It's insane what they do to food.
Yeah. Someone says, pretty much you can tell when something looks fake or unrealistic. Can we though?
Well, apparently not. This is the thing. I wonder if it's people who use these filters more and use these apps can tell. Like, you know, I use Photoshop a fair bit. I know photography, so I look at this stuff and I'm dissecting everything. But if you don't use these apps, how are you going to know?
Yeah. Someone says, normally yes, because it's more obvious than Photoshop, but that is why a lot of young girls are insecure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
100%. I think that's really is what it boils down to, is just let, not again looking down on people for using anything or saying this is wrong, but being open so that people are aware of what's going on. And that's really my thing with filters and why I make those videos, is because it's like, let's just be aware of what's possible.
Somebody else says, yes, and why? Guys, when we ask a question, it's because it's going to be the topic of next week. That's why.
Yes, and why?
I don't know, just asking for a friend.
Just wondering, because you might have seen our Instagram.
Let me just go right to the bottom so you get a fair.
Yes and why.
Someone says, no, not a clue. The door could be bent and I'll say to myself it must have a cool interior design. I think that's true, because sometimes you can blame it on the fact, oh, they're using a phone, it's not the best quality, so yeah, maybe it's glitched, or maybe something's happened, maybe the camera's not the quality.
It was taken on Android.
So that's why Kim Kardashian has no nose in this video, because it's so blurry.
So, let's finish on how to spot a filtered picture and a filtered video, shall we? A few little tips and tricks. This isn't for you to start going hunting and telling everyone off for using filters, which I know none of you will, because bear in mind that some of the newer iPhone models have a natural filter on the front camera. This was actually taken away in an update, but some phones still have it.
So my thing's shit.
I hate my
Oh, it makes my everything black look grey.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's awful. The front camera.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we're talking about Facetune, because as we said, Photoshop is very, very different. There's so much more you can do in Photoshop to make something not look photoshopped. Obviously, one of the biggest signs is no texture in the skin. If you look at the skin and you can't see a single bit of texture, even a dot, there's no pores, that has been Facetuned. Like, there's no... Even if they're wearing makeup, there will be texture on the skin, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Another way to spot Photoshop skin with texture is the evenness of the texture. So as I said, there's a new filter option on Facetune 2, I think it is. No, Snow, where you can blur your skin and then you can add back in texture. The texture is so uniform.
Right.
Like, it looks too perfect to be real texture. And the thing with texture on the face is the texture is very different in different areas of the face. So you probably are going to have smoother cheeks than you do a nose and forehead. So look out for texture when it looks like perfect little pinprick dots all over the face. Another thing you can look at when people have reshaped their bodies or reshaped their face is blurred edges where there shouldn't be. So, for example, if someone from the side has reshaped their nose, the outline of their nose might be slightly blurred, or there might be like destroyed pixels. So you're looking for those green, blue and red RGB little pixel dots along the outline of something. That usually means that the pixels have been disturbed, something's been dragged. So you can usually tell something's been reshaped that way. Obviously, bending backgrounds is a big one. If something is bending, people don't have bendy doors. So, you know, you're going to notice that. Wobbly doors. What else? I don't know. What else? Oh, do you know what I hate is when people whiten their eyes and teeth?
That's what I was going to say, is looking at eyes as well. It? Sometimes their eyes can look really sharp. And if the detail on the eye is so crisp compared to the skin, that's when it's a little bit like, say, for example, they have their eyes whites are pure white. Then there's a black ring around their eye and then the colour inside is really bright. It looks so cartoon-like almost. If the eyes are really sharp in detail compared to the skin, like that's a clear sign. And like you said, in terms of texture, it being really sporadic, I think if, like, from editing makeup pictures, if, for example, there's some areas that you want to be smooth and some areas you don't. So, for example, you might want the highlighter or the blush to have some texture, otherwise it looks like flat color and maybe the nose. But say, for example, the size of the forehead might be completely smooth. It's like, so they only have pores in those areas, you know? So take a look, zoom in. If someone's skin looks too good to be true,
you can zoom in on Instagram. I don't think people realize you can zoom in.
You can punch a picture and zoom in.
One trick we learned at Universitoire. Is you can, we said how lighting makes such a big difference as well. You can see the whole lighting setup just by zooming in on the eyes. So I think obviously the most popular one is the ring light.
Right.
You're going to see a ring light. If you zoom in, you can see if they're in front of a window. You can see how many soft boxes they have. Mm-hmm. You can literally tell the lighting of a whole shoot just by looking in the eyes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's also a little trick there for you. But listen, here's my takeaway. What I would like you to take away with you today is enjoy content you see online, but don't trust everything you see online. Even if it looks perfectly real, you know, people are professionals at retouching. A lot of influencers nowadays, and especially celebrities, will send their pictures off to professional retouchers. For example, Kylie Jenner is rumored to take selfies, then send her mobile phone picture off to a professional retoucher to retouch. So you might not see those bendy backgrounds, you might not see different light streaks, all this kind of stuff. So don't trust everything you see online. Also, if you don't think the picture is retouched, posing, lighting again makes such a huge difference. So, you know, enjoy content, enjoy artistic representations of things, but don't trust everything you see. And I know it's difficult not to, but don't compare yourself to it, because the body image, the body shape, the skin, the makeup, because likelihood is that it's not as good as it looks.
Yeah, even lighting can make someone look amazing. So even if you see someone on YouTube without their makeup on and think, wow, they look amazing. I mean, they probably look amazing in real life, but they don't have flawless skin or they don't have completely smooth skin. Again, it's lighting. Everything helps. So obviously it's difficult to compare yourself, because then these things are considered the beauty standard, but nobody is the beauty standard at all. No one. Everyone's pinched and manipulated in some way.
The beauty standard doesn't exist.
That just made me fall into a hole.
Oh my god.
I'm falling backwards into a hole.
Robert, where can people find us online?
I'm not giving away my address. Oh, the Double Cleanse
Podcast.
Yeah, at the Double Cleanse Podcast on Instagram. We have Twitter, but we forget it, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Please rate, review, and subscribe to whatever platform you are listening on. It really does help.
It does.
What else was I going to say?
Don't
know. That's pretty much it. Let us know your thoughts on things on our Instagram. messages. We clear out messages after every week because we just want to read responses to
the questions
we ask. So there's like mass deletion, if that makes sense. So we'd rather connect with you in comments rather than messages. So yeah, that's that about that.
All right, bye.
Thanks, everyone. And we will see you next week. If there's anything you want us to talk about, let us know. Because, I mean, we have so many ideas, but we just can't think of them right now.
Yeah, we just can't think right now.
Guys, I don't know if you know, but I'm sick, so we have to go.
Yeah, you go, what's it called? Drain your nose with one of those water tap things. Yeah. All right.
All right, then we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.